Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN will, of course, keep you updated on the downpours that you're seeing scattered throughout Western New York, the storms that we're going to see this morning. WBEN, the place you want to be.
I got stuck in the rain this morning walking the dog. I didn't realize it was going to start, and I was like the furthest point I could be in my neighborhood from my home. And
not good.
I got a good 3:30 run in this morning.
You're running all the, and by the time you got back home, it was done.
Exactly. And the dog was wet, and then, you know. Yeah.
You were ready to go. But we start, Joe, with the special guest.
Yes. Buffalo Sabres 6th-round pick, local Patrick Geary is joining us. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Patrick, let's start with last week. You had the NHL draft, and you got the call. What was that moment like?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. I was sitting on the couch with my dad, and my girlfriend was over as well, and kind of was weighing, seeing around. I had a few teams that I knew that were looking at me and saw my name pop up by the Sabres. Obviously, very excited. And then a few minutes later, Kevin Adams called me, congratulated me, and passed me around the table down at the draft.
Yeah, very cool. So, Patrick, Hamburg native, playing hockey right now, Michigan State. Who knows how much longer, right? I mean, with the Sabres calling up, was drafted by the Sabres, local kid, just over a week ago. Very exciting stuff. I mean, was this something that you didn't really know, like, once you get past the first three picks in the draft, I mean, really anybody can pick you, it kind of seems. But did you ever really think that you'd be taken by your hometown team?
I'd say yes and no, just because of the conversations I had with the Sabres. I mean, I was very close with them just because a lot of the guys who work for the Sabres now kind of started in the junior Sabres, and that's where I started growing up playing hockey. So Kevin Adams actually coached me when I was younger, and Tim Kennedy's there with the player development. He was my 16-year coach. So, I mean, I just felt comfortable with them, and I think kind of same way with them. They knew me. They knew who I was as a person as well. And I think they're definitely my top three teams to kind of get picked by. So, in a way, yes, but also with the draft, you never know, especially after those first three picks.
So, Patrick, how does it work? You get drafted, you go to camp, right? You were at camp last week, and you're still playing college hockey. How does this all mesh together?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I went to camp, obviously went well. It was kind of just get to know everybody, get to see how they run the organization and everything. And, yeah, I'm coming back my sophomore year at Michigan State, and now it's kind of in their hands. I'll talk to the player development guys. They're great, whether it's with the Amherst in Rochester or with the Sabres guys alone. So, yeah, they kind of decide when I'd go in. Obviously, leaving school early would be a good thing for me. But, yeah, if they want me to graduate and then go play in the American League after, or, yeah, it's up to them now. So I just stay in contact with them. They give me feedback. I kind of let them know how I'm feeling and everything, and we kind of just take it year by year.
Well, Michigan State, where you're at right now, what's that like playing hockey over there at Michigan State? You had a pretty nice year there.
Yeah, I mean, it's special. I mean, I think the organization kind of went through a little rough patch the past 5 years, and then we kind of turned it around the last 2 years. So, I mean, we have a great staff here. Our head coach, Adam Nightingale, he's brilliant. He's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, it's special. You play in front of all the 6,000 people every night here at Munn, and there's a lot of tradition here. They win a lot, and we're trying to bring that back and win a national championship.
Patrick, take us back to March, Big Ten championship game. Overtime, you score the game-winning goal. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of crazy. I mean, I'm not the person to expect to score those big goals, and I kind of got lucky. I mean, I kind of just shot it from the point. I mean, I was out there with the older line, the senior line, and they do everything right. We had a guy in net front, and just to put the puck in the net and kind of beat Michigan in a tournament like that and win the Big Ten was definitely special.
I mean, that's quite a moment. I mean, that like everyone dreams of having like that kind of moment, but for it to be against the biggest rival in the biggest game like that, that's got to be pretty cool. Well, now, I mean, you know, you come to Western New York at some point in the future. It's got to make that transition a little bit easier. It's a big step up into pro hockey when you eventually make that step, but being able to be somewhere in Western New York when you're doing it, that should help things, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, especially having all my friends and family at home. I mean, they're super supportive about everything. So, yeah, I think going back there would be the easiest thing, just heading home and kind of just being like there as I am in the summers. You know, I love being home in the summer. So, yeah, I mean, the second I can move back home, I'm happy too.
Let me ask you, Michigan State, obviously, Ryan Miller played at Michigan State. Is he still a big presence at that school?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, a few times last year, he came on the road with us. He was around the rink, and I mean, yeah, just I get to talk to him a few times, you know, about Buffalo and everything. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool to have him around, and all the alumni, they come back, they support us, they give back to us a lot. So we're appreciative of it for sure.
It's some pretty cool stuff. Well, what do you know, it's off season now for you. You had this big moment at the draft. Is there really an off season when you're preparing to take the next step or improve your game, or what does the summer look like for you?
Yeah, so we get to go home for 2 months. So after the school year ended, I came home, and yeah, no, I never really stopped. I was skating and training all summer at home. I have a great trainer at home, Glenn Kafis, and then I work on the ice with Pat Coletta. So I'm very lucky at home. I got a great group around me, and then I'm back at school right now. So we're skating and working out here every day all the way up until the season starts. So yeah, it's long, but I love it here, and it makes it easy for sure.
Patrick, you're a smart kid, so I apologize for the question, but schoolwork's got to be very difficult to focus on when you've got all of this stuff going with hockey in the background.
Yeah, yes and no, I'd say. I think, like, we have a great academic group. Like, we have advisors that we talk to. They kind of – we take two classes in the summer, so during the year our workload's lightened a little bit, so – honestly, it hasn't been too bad. I did pretty good my freshman year, so I got to just stick with it. I mean, it's hard, but you just got to do it. It's part about being a student athlete.
Well, Patrick, we can't wait to watch you in Michigan State this year, and then hopefully very soon here in Buffalo, maybe even in time for the next outdoor game in Buffalo at the new stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Patrick, congratulations. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, guys.
That is Patrick Geary. He is local from Hamburg, New York, drafted by the Buffalo Sabres in the sixth round. And yeah, Brian, very exciting freshman year. You get the game-winning goal in the Big Ten championship to punch the ticket to the Frozen Four tournament and going back to school there. But like you said, who knows for how long?
I mean, that's super cool. It's what you dream about, playing for your hometown team.
Yeah.
So let's hope he gets the opportunity to do so, and you know, comes up to Buffalo.
And he's obviously a better student than me. No, I started working here, and I couldn't focus on my studies at school. So,
yeah, it's a long list of guests we could say that about, Joe.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if we need that. All right, so we've got quite a few things. Again, you know, this back and forth, and this weather is kind of wild outside of our studios here. It's for the most part, it's been just fine.
But when the rain comes,
and then it's just a deluge for like 3 minutes, and then just fine again. You're seeing it all across Western New York, and we'll keep you updated. Anything severe you have to watch out for, of course.
You can't plan a walk because it is going to come back, and we haven't had like the longest amount of breaks, but we've had more breaks than rain. Is how I would describe the morning.
Is there like a good indoor activity during the summer for a day like this that you default to?
If we had an indoor water park. Last year when we had the smoke and I couldn't take my son for a walk outside, we'd walk around the Boulevard Mall, but you can't do that this summer. So
you can't really do that anywhere.
No, I mean, I think going to the library is not an awful idea on a day like this.
Sounds like a great idea.
You know, I mean, you go, you spend some time looking at the books, and then you get a piece of physical media to take home and watch.
You mentioned the mall. I don't know if you saw the video online. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, lead singer, songwriter Weezer, was in Buffalo. He put a whole bunch of Instagram stories together and did a tour because a couple of the members of the band Weezer from Buffalo and Rochester, or just Buffalo. One of the two. They're right from Western New York, and then, you know, went out to California and made this band. And the videos are very funny because he is very funny. Like, he's just the most awkward, like, nonchalant person. Like, oh, well, here we are at this gas station. This is where he worked when he was a kid. Like, it's stuff like that. It's very funny. But one of the stops he made was in front of the Eastern Hills Mall.
Yeah.
Because
I heard about this.
Here's the, in the mall. This is the mall that's the song is about for Weezer. And then he turns the camera around. And it's like, I forget exactly what he said. I was watching the video last night. He goes, it's like some sort of apocalyptic wasteland here, just going around the Eastern Hills Mall parking lot. And he goes, well, can you walk in? It's like, no, all the doors are locked. I don't know what they're going to do with this place, but there you go. And I'm like, all right, there you go. There's your big buffalo on the national media. Thank you to Weezer. We're not on their tour, by the way, which is just funny to me. They're about to go on a big tour, 30 years since their big record came out. Buffalo's not on the tour. He'll just make a trip himself to come to Buffalo and go to our abandoned mall.
Go to one of our two abandoned malls.
You're like, that's nice. Thanks. Hope to see you here soon.
I do have to say, I don't want to criticize. I know the plans for Eastern Hills are beautiful, but you know they closed it in January, Brian. And maybe you can't see far inside, right? You can only walk to the DMV and back. It doesn't seem like they've started anything. Like again, I don't want to be too critical, but like I thought this was going to be a in progress the minute summer
started. His idea was they should open it up and let kids skate through it and or even go through it with baseball bats.
To start the demolition?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to take it down, just like whatever.
But they're strategically taking it down. Only bits and pieces.
That's right.
By the way, the bounce houses are still open. I noticed this when I was doing my own walk around the... Yes, but you have to... The entrance is next to the dumpster. So you have to go around the back of the mall to find the entrance to the bounce house. So, just so people know.
Do they put that on the website? Enter by the dumpster.
They probably say it a little nicer, but, you know, it's in the back of the mall.
I did not see that mention on
the Facebook
page. By
the way, very nice place. I'm just saying it's an interesting place for their external entrance.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, a lot of the things that I've seen over the last however long to get to. One of them is this. You know, maybe you're doing this. You're not using the grill today, probably. All right, if you're ordering a pizza, how much is a pizza? How much do you pay for a pizza? How much is too much? And at what price point do you say, that's a good deal?
And we're talking about a large pizza for the family?
A large pizza. So this came to me. I saw somebody post on Facebook a picture of a pizza from a local pizza place. I won't name names. You don't have to name names here. Just a large pizza. How much should it be? Cheese and pepperoni. You know, the basic staple. How much should it be? They posted a picture. Now, I think this might have been like a quote-unquote half tray or maybe larger than a large. It had to have been. Oh, here's a pizza. Pizza looked great. $36.
Oh, my gosh.
but this photo was weird because it also could have been a large. So I don't know. It wasn't your typical like huge. There was nothing for scale. It was just like the pizza in the box.
Was it from one of the two places in town that all their pizzas are square?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming it was a little bigger than a large, but still like $36. I'm going like, whoa, that's, you know, I know it's expensive, but that's a lot. How much is a pizza? I just say that to you, how much for a pizza?
I mean, how much should a pizza be? My answer would be $17.99 at the most. I can't remember the last time for a large pizza I paid that. I mean, pizzas.
Really?
I haven't gotten a pizza in a while, but the last time I got a pizza, I remember being like shocked by the price.
We're a pizza house. We get pizza all the time. It is the go-to, even with how much pizza is.
Yeah, because pizza used to be the cheaper thing that you had leftovers of.
Well, it still is.
But it's not as cheap.
Well, it's not as cheap, but compared to anything else you would order out if you're not going to cook, it is the cheapest way to feed a family. Ordering out.
Yeah. For what you get.
For $20, you know, there's four of us here. For $20, we're all eating, and we probably have a slice or two left over.
And you're getting pizza for $20?
I'd say that's the price. I think that's the average price of a large pizza, cheese and pepperoni, $20. You think that's crazy?
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. I've seen a lot more expensive than that.
I don't.
Like around town, like at pretty prominent places.
Really?
$20 would be like on a special day.
Yeah. No way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen $27, $28. I'm in these places, you know, all every day.
Because I was going to say, I still see $10.
I see $10 on, I mean, I don't want to badmouth. I don't see $10 on local pizzerias.
I do.
Really?
Yeah. I still, in one place we go a lot, in the Tonawandas, large cheese and pepperoni, $13.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you still
that
now,
I would run to go get that.
Yeah. This is where my wife and I differ, because she likes always switching it up and being different, and I don't. I would eat, you know, a plain piece of chicken, you know, seasoned with nothing every day for the, you know, I'll eat a potato baked with nothing on it for the, and just be fine. I would go there every single time. Yes. After a few times in a row, she's like, can we get something different this time? I'm like, okay, but
that's a risk. That's a risk. I have three pizza places that I'll go to, and there's no debate. Because I want to know what I'm getting, and I know what to say. Like, there's a certain place, I love their pizza, but you have to say, can I get that well done, please? Because if you don't say well done, it's going to be a little mushy, right? Well done, I want that crisp, let's go, and they do it perfect every time. I don't like the risk. If I'm paying anything, right? And like you said, Brian, if you're in the mood to not cook, you're going to be paying money. If I'm going to pay anything, I want to know what I'm getting. I'm not in the mood to take a risk.
$20 is what we're seeing on the text. I think that's the new price. I don't know what the price used to be. I want to say like $14 for a while, like it was hovering around there. But over the last 5 years, $20. Large cheese and pepperoni pizza, I think that is the expectation, is right around the $20 mark.
And we're talking pickup. By the way, we're not talking that you're getting.
Oh yeah, no delivery fee and like all that stuff. $20, I think that's the average. So I saw this 36, and I went, you know, like my eyes popped out of my head. But like, how much do? What's the most you would pay for a pizza? What's the least amount you've paid? And not a chain, by the way. Like it doesn't count. Someone put the Little Caesars thing on that. That doesn't count. I'm sorry.
Right. I was gonna say the chain places have really good deals.
The McDonald's of pizza doesn't count for this.
Right. I would say I know this is a chain, but for a while there, Wegmans had the $10 pepperoni pizzas, but now I believe it's a little more.
But only a little.
Yeah, it's not 20.
It's a good pizza.
It is a good pizza.
And it's not that much more.
We had it here on Monday.
It's a good pizza. You know, it's one of those places. $20, I think, is okay, but I know there's some deals out there, and there's some people paying way more than $20, which you must live in an expensive pizza area.
There's a place I love that has a pizza day, and if we're going to get pizza in a week, I say, let's get it on this day. We'll save a few bucks, and it'll be around 20.
What do you mean a pizza day?
Like, it's, you know, $10 off a large one-topping pizza, and it's a local place.
It's a pretty big amount. It's like half off.
Well, the pizza's usually $30.
Woo!
For a large pizza. So that's, if we're going to get that place, that's the day we do it.
What's on the pizza?
What? Cheese and pepperoni.
Is it like their own goat in the back they get the cheese from?
No, not even goat cheese.
what's going on there? How much is it? I think the average response here is $20, but some of the other ones here are pretty eye popping. Let us know. And is New York a battleground state? What?
Ooh.
It's a new article out this morning. That and much more. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here on WBEN. Thanks to Patrick Geary, who joined us at the top of the show. Sabres draft pick, local kid, hoping he gets to play for his local team someday. Yeah. Taken in the sixth round by the Sabres. We're also talking, I saw a Facebook post, somebody put a $36 pizza. My eyes popped out of my head. It just led me to ask, how much do you pay for a pizza? Large cheese and pepperoni. Like, that's, to me, that's the standard. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
That's the standard pizza. Large cheese and pepperoni. You got a family of four. That's what you're getting. Probably.
As someone who used to work at a pizza place, let me tell you, Brian, that is, you're going to make a lot of cheese pepperonis no matter what day you go into work.
It's the pizza.
It is the pizza.
It is the pizza. I said probably $20 is the going rate here. I pay less. I don't try to pay more, but I have. But I won't go over $25. If I'm looking, you know, where to order pizza from or do that, I won't go over 25, personally.
Yeah,
Yet.
I mean, I think there are people who won't go over 20. And I think there are people in their neighborhood that their neighborhood pizzeria has gotten to a point where they've been priced out of pizza. I think you're probably seeing that around town.
But a couple people on the text, you know, 20 seems to be the going rate, but some people are saying, I would feel like I got a deal for 20, seems to be more like 25. People saying $30, which is like, what? Had somebody else say, do you ever make homemade pizza? I love making pizza at home. It's great. But like ordering out pizza, it is for, like making pizza at home is, I mean, that's making a dinner. Like the order out pizza is, we're not making a dinner. We don't, you know, what are we doing?
If you're ordering out pizza, you're in a mindset where the stove's not getting turned on.
Yeah. Although sometimes the frozen pizza can substitute.
Yeah, you had that pizza stone to put the frozen pizza on. Now we're talking.
I never. Does that really make a difference?
It was a gift, Brian. Let me tell you. We like it.
Does it make a difference?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, again, that's all I've known
now for
years.
Is it only for use for frozen pizzas? Or do you make, when you make a pizza, you're supposed to put it on?
We've used it for making pizza as well.
Ah, see, when I make a pizza, I'm greasing up a pan.
Yeah, you make it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going in the pan.
So before the stone, we would literally, you know, get it to the point where it was not going to be doughy on the rack, mm-hmm. and then take it out of the pan and have it cook right on the rack. Now it's just on the stone the whole time.
Yeah. When I make a pizza, the whole crust is just, oh, it's all greased up to the point where it can't hold any more grease from the pepperoni. So it's just, oh, it's the best. But no, like sometimes you just want to go out. Like I make a pizza. It's good. I like it. What I make. I like a frozen pizza. Sometimes you just want a pizzeria pizza.
Yes.
So $20, I think, is where we're kind of at right now. I think if you're paying more than $20, you have a right to say, that's a little bit of an expensive pizza. If you're paying under $20, I think you can feel like, I got a good price on a pizza.
Especially if it's a pizza you like. Like, if you like the pizza, it's under $20, you're getting a steal.
What's the premium you're willing to pay on a pizza that you like more than anything else? How much more would you pay?
Is it just my wife and I? Like, we don't have company or anyone over? Because that does play into it. It's just a random weeknight.
Yeah, but
I'm not willing to pay a premium. If we have people over.
Oh, you want to be like, this is the best pizza?
Yeah, or if like Virginia Tech's playing and it's an event, but if it's just, hey, we don't want to cook today, mm-hmm. who's going to drive down and pick up a pizza? I'm not paying a premium for
nothing.
It. Just a weeknight pizza.
I would, you know, I give, if you're the best in town, $3 more before I start to be like, eh, can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not paying a premium.
I'm still of the mindset, though, it's because it is still the cheapest way to feed everybody at the table if you're ordering out.
Yes, I agree. And for us, you know, you have it for dinner, and that's going to sit in the fridge. You have lunch now for the next few days. Throw it in the air fryer, and it's good as new. But I can't bring myself to pay a premium price during the week.
Yeah,
I'll go buy a $2.50 salad kit from Aldi.
Someone texting in ordered a pizza the other day, large cheese and pepperoni with chicken on it, chicken finger pieces on it.
Oh, nice.
Including service, delivery fee, tip for driver, it was $50.
No, I can't do it.
At some point, that's on you, though.
By the way, as someone who does delivery, I'm glad there are people out there who do it. I could never do it.
Yeah, I won't. There's never being anything delivered to my house. I'm going out and getting it. I don't care who I have to put in the car and how long it takes me to get there.
Right.
I'm going out and getting it just to cut down on that. There's no extra toppings. I just don't do them. You get one topping.
Now I mentioned the place that does the one day a week special. If there is a special, and there are local pizzerias that will do a two topping special for the price of just a cheese pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Half that pizza's getting onions on it. My wife won't have onions on it. I'll have...
I think that's part of it is I've already have one kid at the table who will... It's just cheese.
Okay.
You know, so it's like, all right, I'm getting one topping. I'm either peeling that off or I'm biting the bullet and saying, all right, give me half. Which I don't like that pizza places do this. They'll still charge you for the whole topping if you're only getting it on half the pizza.
And well, they shouldn't be doing that.
Sometimes you'll get charged for two toppings, even if you do half double pepperoni, half cheese.
Mm.
So I want the same amount of pepperoni you'd put on a whole pizza, just all on half of the pizza. I shouldn't be charged for double the topping.
No, back when I was ringing out pizzas, I don't remember it. It was a half the price for half the pizza.
That's what it should be. Now there's no differentiation when you order. It's just like, all right, that's a topping.
Well,
ring it up.
If you're letting them get away with it. That's just like the parking thing.
Well, all right, $20 for pizza. So we'll go to Kay in Buffalo on WBEN. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Listen, yeah, I'm listening to the show again like I usually do, and I like this topic, but I'm not hearing anything talk. We can't talk about pizza in Buffalo, man, without talking about the wings. You know, a pizza night, someone's going to say, where are the wings at? Then we got to get into the what kind of ranch or blue cheese, flats or drums. But when I think about pizza, man, I'm brainstorming from 7-Eleven Pizza, Zetti's that closed down. I'm having flashbacks of the old place called Pizza America that was on Main Street years ago. But I can't talk about pizza without thinking about wings. That's all I have to say, man.
You know what I say if somebody says, you know, what about wings?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, you can bring wings.
That's
great. That sounds good to me. You got them?
Hey, we got to put them in an air fryer or what? But we can bring them, huh, man?
Yeah, something like that. Hey, Kay, thanks for the call. I mean, the wings are just like, sorry, it's not happening. Unless you have the big, like the pizza party.
Yes.
You know, if pizza is your catering, it's pizza and wings. If pizza and wings have... except for a special, or if you're having people over, or if there's like a really good one day a week special at a place.
Yes.
They have now been completely separated in my household because it costs too much.
I was going to say, I've been priced out of pizza and wings. I remember a time where you could get a small or even a medium pizza and 10 wings for $20, or maybe even a medium pizza and 20 wings for $20. You can't anymore. So because of the price, I cannot afford to have pizza and wings. Like that, like you said, Brian, a big event, let's go all out. But a weeknight pizza, I'm not paying a premium on pizza. I can't add the wings. But I agree with Kay. I will eat a pizza and go, it'd be nice to have some wings here. It's just fiscally not something I can do on just a random weeknight.
And when did that change?
I'd say that's been in the last decade. I mean, that...
I would say five. Maybe. Like, it was not that long ago where it was just pizza and wings, whatever.
Yeah. You see those signs outside pizzerias?
Yeah. On the phone, we'll go to Dylan in Blaisdell. Dylan, how much is a pizza?
How much is a pizza? Well, it's got to be on sale now in order for me to afford it. Thank you, Biden. But here's my thing about ingredients. Now... Well, two things. First of all, you can't have a lot of onions because they sweat and you have a wet, watery pizza. That's just a little tip. And secondly, I don't like that they charge the same cost. It costs you the same to have peppers. No, I should say pepperoni and sausage. And it's the same price if you want green peppers for a couple of shavings. It's not fair. It's not right. Something's got to be done about it.
Dylan, this is a good point. This is a very good point.
A couple of shavings of green pepper, I got to pay $2 for? Uh-uh.
Yeah, so, I like that line of thinking. Dylan, thanks for the call. I like, by the way, how it's the same person who thinks that the president can't walk from stage left to a podium is also directly influencing the price of pepperoni.
It's his policies. It's his policies.
But no, on that's why frivolous toppings do not even get a glance for me. If you want to top a pizza, all right, you want like a buffalo chicken pizza, go at it. Specialty pizza, okay. Cheese and pepperoni. Oh, and can we add, onions you mentioned, Joe. No, sorry.
Yeah, Dylan, I agree with you about Biden, but I have to disagree with you about the onions. I think if you go to the right place, onions and pepperoni, it tastes perfect, and it takes nothing away from the crust or the cheese and the sauce.
I'm not saying it wouldn't taste good. It's not worth the $5.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
We're not paying for the...
But if you're giving me a deal where I can get two toppings for the price of one,
mm-hmm.
onions is going on that pizza.
I'll entertain sausage.
Okay, see?
You know, exactly. Another meat. I need a hearty topping if we're going to be paying that much for it.
Yeah, but like I said, I usually it's you are right, cheese, pepperoni, and that's the standard when we're talking pizza. I do have to agree with Dylan, though. I mean, the policies of the administration, Brian, I do think have played into inflation.
Well, it's the pizza and wings combo is just not, it's not a family thing anymore for us. It just won't. It's one or the other. we're either getting a pizza and it's just a pizza,
or wings,
or we're usually going out for wings. So taking home wings.
You're right.
They're just not as good.
As much as they try with different containers, wings taste better fresh out of the fryer. You don't want to waste the time driving them home. I completely agree.
On the president, though, Joe, yes. Interesting in Politico this morning, the headline, Biden support slips in deep blue New York. The quote, which comes from Manhattan Borough President, a Democrat, of course, Mark Levine, I truly believe we're a battleground state now. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit with some of our guests this morning, Joe. I don't believe it. Do you believe it?
That New York's a battleground state.
Is New York a battleground state?
Do I wish, or is it?
Is it? Based on the poll numbers right now, based on how things have changed since Biden, based on the favorability ratings that he has, that the governor has, you know, other members of the Democrat Party in New York State. Is New York a battleground state?
No, it will be. Obviously, the rate of win, I think, will be a lot lower in New York State. But at the end of the day, I think Biden's going to get the electoral votes. Now, I also think this is a lot of factors. I mean, Kathy Hochul had one of the closest gubernatorial elections in a long time, winning only 53% to 46% in a state that outnumbers 3-1. Democrats outnumber Republicans 3-1 in the state of New York. So it's a bad look for Biden that he's within 10, according to the latest Siena poll, at 47-39. I just don't think, I think the state is so blue. I don't think it'll be a toss-up. I think Biden can comfortably say he'll get the electoral votes in New York. Obviously, if we're putting my personal bias in here, I wish I was wrong, but New York will not be one of the surprise flips. I think Virginia will, but not New York.
It's been 40 years since Reagan won New York, the last GOP candidate.
He won a lot of other liberal states.
Won almost every state, yes. Except for one, in 1984. And since then, it's been blue, as blue can be. I think this is one of the areas where the polls don't reflect what actually will happen on Election Day. Where the polls can show it's close, they can show slipping numbers, they can show this and that, but on Election Day, I mean, it would, to me, be the most shocking election result I think I've seen in my lifetime, or most shocking thing politically that could possibly happen if New York went red on election. I would be stunned.
Yeah, and if New York goes red on Election Day, Brian, that's the furthest from Biden or the Democrats' problems on election night, if even New York's gone red. I would say this. I think the polls indicate it will be, and I do believe it'll be closer than 23%. I don't think I'm crazy to say that. But I think Biden will probably win New York by about 12 to 15%. Again, a dip from 2020. But I just don't see the state, especially with the downstate influence. I don't see it going for Trump. The only way it does, Brian, is if enough people stay home. And I've said this repeatedly. If you're in the Biden camp, your biggest problem is people don't love Joe Biden. They just don't like Donald Trump. That's how you get people to the polls. Trump supporters love Donald Trump. And that's the difference. I don't think you're going to have the rush to the polls like you had in 2020. So, again, I think New York will be a lot closer. That's not saying much. It doesn't take that much to be a lot closer than 23% like it was in 2020.
Well, the polls in question, two private polls conducted in a swing New York House district, reviewed by Politico, one in September, another in March, found Trump leading Biden by a point, a virtual tie. Public polls over the last 4 months find Biden's lead has gone down to just 8 points across New York State. Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1. It is very interesting. I like some of what Derek Thompson, who I'll cite from time to time here, pointed out. He mentioned, writes for The Atlantic, hosts a podcast, and does a whole number of other things. He mentioned that, you know, for him, the thing that Democrats are not really getting right now is his number two point in this tweet that he sent out. talking about Biden's decision like the parents of an injured freshman debating whether he should try out for varsity tennis. You know, it's up to him, whatever he decides. If he says he can do it, I trust him, as long as he gives it his all. You know, big boy press conference and things like that. That can't be helping things in the slate of public opinion, can it?
No, and, you know, I mean, again, I obviously am addressing this with a bias, and I think it's important to say that, Brian, but, I mean, we're getting close to the deadline, right? Once these once his name's on the ballot, do people really think that Biden's going to go to November without another blunder like the debate? I think it's a high risk if you're in the Biden camp, and a risk that I guess a lot of people are willing to take. It could be a very interesting big boy press conference tomorrow.
He also pointed out an article that, you know, this isn't a new thing. I mean, certainly it's not a new thing to anybody who's been paying attention with a wide lens on what they take in. But it's kind of been covered like it's a brand new thing. He points out The Atlantic had an article, this is the headline, "Why Biden Shouldn't Run in 2024. The quote, let me put this bluntly, Joe Biden shouldn't run for re-election in 2024. He's too old. That was from back in June of 2022.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, like, the idea that this is some new thing or that this hasn't been covered by the media, I just don't buy that.
It hasn't been the constant focus like it has been since the debate.
Well, sure. And it hasn't been covered by every single outlet. But this has been, I mean, maybe the story here. And I mean, what it leads me to, and tomorrow's going to be a big day, and I guess what it leads you to here at the end here is that this is now the number one issue in this race, the president's age. It trumps, no pun intended, everything about Donald Trump right now, to the point where if you point to, you know, whatever you want to, that you would on the Democratic side of things, January 6th, this Project 2025 is the new thing. Biden's age is just the central question. It beats out everything. Now, some people have said it's not a solvable problem, but it is, because if the Democrats went somewhere else and Joe Biden was not the nominee, Joe Biden's age would not be
on the ballot
an issue at all in the campaign.
I also think there is another, I mean, his age and the debate performance really, I think, kicked off this constant focus, Brian. But if you look at the top two issues that the average voter is going to the polls thinking about, it's immigration and the economy, and Trump wins both of those as well. So I do think Democrats are in an interesting situation. Yes, you're right. You move Biden off the ballot, his age isn't on the ballot. But if you keep Kamala Harris, she still has to answer for the last 4 years of this administration. It's a very interesting situation as a political nerd to sit back and watch play out.
How many people on average watch a news conference? And how many people are going to be watching this tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I think there are people who are just discovering what NATO is.
I don't think you're wrong there. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow, both of us, getting you through everything. And I can't believe it. It's kind of bright outside right now.
Take it in. You got a few minutes.
You do have a few minutes. We started the show on a downpour. It's bright right now. It'll change again. We're keeping you up to date on the weather throughout the day here on WBEN. Lucas will do the same when he's in the news booth next. Beamaz and Beamer on WBEN.